Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew I could be so happy.
They gon' wanna hear some horns.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me. Change it, yeah. Change it, yeah. Can't do it alone. Can't do it alone. Need some help, y'all.
Good morning. Welcome to the world according to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. As always, read your African American newspapers where you are. No matter where you are on this globe, you can read them. We have My Eye Messenger, which is an online publication. We have the Texas Metro News, the Garland Journal, as well as Eye Messenger. I repeated that on iMessenger. You can get that online. So there's no excuse for it. for the news. So much is going on, so little time to talk about it. It is the fifth day of February, 2023. I want to say in heaven this morning, good morning, Dad. Happy birthday. Boy, I have to tell you, as a kid, you were more excited about your family's birthday than you were yours. Of course, you know you got all the gifts and pleasantries associated with it. But for your parents, that was a pretty big day as well. So happy birthday, Dad, in heaven. Also, today starts Black History Month. We'll be going through some things, give you updated on some inventions that you enjoy so much that we will let you know we started. And I'm just so excited. They got a couple of callers to come in this morning, and maybe we can share some light. And some of the things we'll talk about this morning, LeBron James, as he embarks on Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's top leading scorer ever in the history of National Basketball Association, better known as the NBA. We'll talk about Trey Nichols, 4 days ago, funeralized. We're finding out more and more about the shootings there in Memphis and want to see what you're thinking as we break that down a little bit more. Spy balloon. Or was it just a balloon crossing the country just for the heck of it? Well, we won't know now. Well, we may find out. But the balloon is no longer in the air. Now, even though we shot it down, and I'll talk about it a little bit later, how much information did it really get? You know, was it fact or fiction? We definitely find out. Super Bowl next Sunday. Boy, it's going to be a lot of people, a lot of wagering. Vegas is busy. Football pots. Now, I tell you, I never knew about a football pot until I moved to Texas. And I tell you, a lot of people got pots going on for the Super Bowl. Big money. And we're going to be watching that as the Eagles of Philadelphia go against the Chiefs of Kansas City. Two brothers, first time ever. We've had one. Now we've gotten two. Will the NFL, how would they survive knowing they have to spotlight two brothers as quarterbacks? It's going to be interesting to see how the broadcasters handle this. First time ever. Never was a problem when you had Bradshaw and Staubach, or if you had John Elway, Joe Montana. Even when you had Elway and Doug Williams, Elway got all the attention. Doug broke most of the records of the Super Bowl in the second quarter. Second half, they run the ball. Timmy Smith gets the new rushing title for the Super Bowl. The next year, Joe Montana in his Super Bowl, if Doug had 401, he made sure he had 402. They kept passing to the break Doug's record. You didn't hear about that side. That's the darker side of football. But it's been going on for years. But we just want to see how they market this. And it's going to be quite interesting. Mahomes and Hurts. I can say Mahomes, bringing it to Mahomes, and Jalen's going to make them hurt, however you want to look at it. The presidential ratings are going up. We'll give you a little bit about that. And George Santos, let's find out a little bit more about him. I tell you, it is Black History Month. I'm just so excited. It's this is actually one of my favorite months because we get to rehash or revisit some of the great things that we have made, or great contributions that we have made. And I'm looking at some songs here that go through Aretha Franklin, you know, Say a Little Prayer. I mean, you just, the people who have come through that have just made things happen. And speaking of Aretha, as we think about Black history, I want everybody to always be able to make it. You better think. What you're trying to do to me. And you know, Aretha sung that song many, many years ago. And let your mind go free. It's just, we're in that microcosm right now. It's just trying to be cut. And when I say cut, trying to keep our African-American studies out of history books. Come on. With the contributions that we've made to this country, this is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Here in 2023, trying to erase history as it has a little color to it. Come on. As the guys say on the football program, come on, man. What are you thinking about? The fans issue. You got a fight on your hands. But as I mentioned previously, this is Black History Month, and every show this particular month, I'll be giving you some tidbits on some of our contributions, not only to the world, but to our country. Let you know that Black History Month began as Negro History Week. It was created in 1926 by Carter G. Woodson, a noted African-American historian, scholar, educator, and publisher. It became a month-long celebration in 1976. The month of February was chosen to coincide with the birthdays of both Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Back in 2009, in February of the 12th day, the NAACP marked the 100th anniversary, spurred by growing racial violence in the earliest 20th century, and particularly race riots in Springfield, Illinois. In 1908, a group of African-American leaders joined together to form a new permanent civil rights organization, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, better known as the NAACP. And that was, again, February 12, 1909. Jack Johnson, who was a heavyweight champion long before Muhammad Ali and Mike Tyson, won the heavyweight championship in 1908. and held the belts in 1950. John Mercer Langston was the first man to become a lawyer in Ohio and passed the bar in 1854 when he was elected to the post to the post of town clerk in Brownham, Ohio. And in 1855, Langston became one of the first African-Americans to be elected to public office in America. History. Not his story. History. Our brand. Our month. And we're going to let you know it all here. And I want to just get you in the mode of just trying to find out more about the cultural history that we've presented. And Ron DeSantis, you trying to take this out? Come on, man. Come on. Again, George Washington Carver, we're going through some things, developed 300 derivative products from a peanut. Among them, cheese, milk, coffee, flour, ink, dyes, plastic, wood stain, soap, linoleum, medicinal oils, and cosmetics. Heim Rhodes reveals, Rebels, is how we pronounce it, was the first African-American elected to the United States Senate. He represented the state of Mississippi from February of 1870 to March of 1871. Heim Rhodes Rebels. Shirley Chisholm was the first African-American woman elected to the House of Representatives. She was elected in 1968, representing the state of New York. She broke ground in 4 years later in 1972 when she was the first majority party African-American candidate and the first female candidate for president of these United States. The black population in 1870 was about 4.8 million. In 2007, the number of black residents of the United States, including those of more than one race, climbed to the amount of 40.7 million. Black history. We got it all. The whole month, we're going to get the real history lesson instead of the history that we've learned in school. We're going to get it right here. Right here. You know, we talk about here in Texas about the Juneteenth celebration, getting the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, where Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. But 2 years later, the word gets to the shores of Galveston, Texas. Now, mind you, they collaborated with other states not to get the information because they wanted to get another crop of cotton out. Isn't that something? Let's use them a little bit longer. And people fail to realize it's not Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, or Florida that produce the most cotton. The most cotton comes from Texas. And as I mentioned on previous shows, you can go up to some of the finest neighborhoods in the Dallas Metroplex area. Allen, Texas, million-dollar homes next to cotton fields. Now, is that a message they're trying to tell us? We raised the prices, and let me get a little bit more color for you. They jacked the prices up in this particular area. But you go two blocks over from one of the nicest homes you can find in the Dallas metropolitan area. There's a cotton field. A cotton field. Is that a reminder to let us know? You may have come a certain distance, but you haven't reached the pinnacle. A cotton field. And one of the most prominent or wealthiest neighborhoods or municipalities in the Dallas Metroplex area. So even with the growth we've made, there's still some staggering reminders of the past of not only America, or should I say, let's start the other way, not only of Texas, but of America. We'll give you a little bit, but we can't give it all to you. That's what they're thinking. We think about the Underground Railroad. Ingenious. Very little supplies, resources, as we call it today, to work our brothers and sisters from the south to the north. Crossing rivers. People joining in. Working our way through Cincinnati. If you ever go to Cincinnati, the Underground Railroad, you must go see the museum there. The African-American museums, as we look at this month throughout this country, a great one here in Dallas. Of course, you know, in Washington, D.C., getting them all together. Atlanta. Charlotte. You anywhere in the South, and people have readings. You can go to most of your historically black colleges and universities and see the history of the plight of us in this country. Now, I'm always bragging on where I went to school and will continue until I have no breath in my body. And in a Florida A&M at our Florida Archive that sits on the top of the highest of seven hills, called the Black Archives. It's storing a lot of the history of Florida. And I tell people all the time, FAMU is very fortunate to be there. But when they gave FAMU that land was full of rattlesnakes. They didn't want to go up there. They were afraid of that area. They gave it to us. We went in and made some changes. Dealt with the rattlesnakes, did what we had to do, but we did not fail. The black students of that region, the black students of Florida at that particular time. There are other colleges that started just like this, and I will be reminded of Prairie View A&M. The same story. Texas gave them a rattlesnake-infested property, territory, to build upon. See, they didn't want that property. They thought, well, all them snakes, just give it to them. Okay? That same thing can be said about a lot of our HBCUs, especially the ones with A&M, agricultural and mechanical. We have A&T in North Carolina with agricultural and technology. Southern in Baton Rouge was agricultural and mechanical. You know, you just hear Southern University, but they're also Southern University and A&M College. When we came out of school back in those days, either you want to be a preacher, a teacher, or agriculturist. That's what we were limited to. We'll teach you how to pray. We teach you how to teach others, and we'll teach you how to live off the land. That's why Booker T. Washington was so smart. He pulled George Washington Carver with him down to Tuskegee. Now, do you think in all the makeup, our wives and girlfriends and sisters and ladies that we've seen in church, do you think Maybelline ever think George Washington Carver for all the different colors, blushes, rouge, powder? Now, you know, those who know me personally know I have a kind of a rich tan. I love to say that. And some days used to be a little shiny. And boy, going to church, I used to hate my mom. Take that little red sponge and just pat your face, get the shine off you a little bit. I was like, Mom, no, get a towel, not that bad. And she just don't know, God bless her soul in heaven. When I played baseball, I played catcher a little bit. I should take that same pad she wiped my face with, put it inside my glove so that ball wouldn't sting my hand. I know if she knew that, she'd probably pop me in my head. But I made it happen. So we've always been able, I said that to say this, we've all been able to make lemonade out of the lemons. Or we can make lemonade out of lime. If you're in Florida, you have so many options. And our forefathers and foremothers made sure they made the most of what they had, the resources. And their songs in church, you know, we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, making inventions, making life a little simpler for ourselves, and making life simpler for the people that owned us at that time. Over the years, we look at Dred Scott's case when in 1857, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a decision, Scott versus Stanford, delivering a resounding victory to Southern supporters of slavery, arousing our Northern abolitionists. During the 1830s, owner of a slave, Dred Scott, had taken him from the slave state of Mississippi to Wisconsin Territory in Illinois, where slavery was outlawed, according to the terms of the Missouri Compromise of 1820. We're always reminded that Jamestown was a point of entry. They gave credit. We also know that St. Augustine, Florida, was a point of entry. Coming to the New World, as we've heard before, we were robbed of our name, robbed of our country. Had to reestablish ourselves to make good for ourselves in this country. We didn't have that balloon that was shot down the other day. We're going to talk about that a little bit later, too. How we navigated, used the sun, know that the sun rises in the east and goes down in the west. We didn't know astronomy. We just watched the pattern of day. Yale didn't give it to them. No Harvard, as we used to say, instead of Harvard. None of the finer institutions, as they said, gave us that knowledge. We watch. Sun rises this way and sets that way. So we know what's behind us. We're trying to see what's in front of us. So we migrated west, not knowing what the future will hold. We lost a lot of brothers and sisters, if you look at it, across the Mississippi River. Okay? We had lost a lot of our brothers and sisters coming across the Atlantic Ocean. Some may have learned a little bit, learned how to swim. Some may have learned how to put wood together for floats. We were put in a bad situation. A bad situation, but we survived. Had brothers thought, brothers and sisters, put their minds together to make things, floats, barges, whatever you want to call it. Put things together, put seals so the water wouldn't come between the logs. And we got across the Mississippi. And then once we got across the Mississippi, let's start on the lower end. You went from the east bank, as they call it, the west bank, to the east bank of New Orleans. Went across Baton Rouge, making our way to the west. If you come up a little higher, went from Mississippi to Louisiana and Arkansas. We didn't let that. The old songs, let nothing turn me around. They were trying to find new ground. We kept moving, keep going west. Went over the Rockies. They didn't tell them. They didn't have a roadmap. They just kept going. And now some of the things that we can't do, and we have all the technology and the resources to do it. They had nothing but their mind, their goal, their drive to go where the sun was setting. They kept moving west. Went across the Grand Canyon. Okay? Look, we've climbed everything high. Now we got to go through something that's very low. How many of us would have been able to do that today? We kept pushing. We get to the other side. They think they might, some of them thought, well, are we back to the Atlantic side or the ocean where we came in? Well, they noticed, again, the ingenuity that was instilled in their bodies, that when they were on the East Coast, when the sun came up, it was over water on their right-hand side, depending on what direction they were looking. And when it came down, it was on the left side when it went off the edge of the Pacific. Smart. They didn't have to go to school to learn that. That's why I say we've been smart for a while. And give us a little bit of these schools that we're going through now. We know the deal. We understand what it takes. But folks, we got to unify still. There are so many barriers that are ahead of us now. You know, you look at affirmative action that gave us an opportunity. They were sending that. We're just now getting the first black female on the Supreme Court. Yes, Thurgood Marshall led the way. But after Thurgood, Clarence. See, if you can name all the black justices, that shows that we haven't had many. Haven't had many at all. So what is the future holding? We tell your grandsons and granddaughters, your nieces, your nephews, if you get in the criminal system as a lawyer, go ahead and be a judge. Work your way up. There may be a spot for you in the Supreme Court. We've come a long way, and we got more to go. See, I kept it simple. I could have expressed it, we've come a long way to get where we are today. And in order to get to the future, we still have a way to go. I'm just saying we've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. We have to take it to the next level. Your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, the next generation, some of us, we're not quite. We're closer to the end than we were yesterday. But there's still hope for us to lead our folks in the right direction. And to let the world know that, yes, we've made many contributions to this world through civil war. You know, they put us out there first, but we got through that. We dealt with separate but equal. We had Booker T, George Washington Carver, Du Bois in 1900s, making a change for us. You know, you look at Tuskegee. If you're ever in the Southeast, please go see Tuskegee University now. It used to be Tuskegee Institute. Go see it. Any of your historically black colleges, go see. When we didn't have the choice to go to University of Texas, University of Florida. And let me give you a little history about me. I had an older sister that went to University of Florida in the 1970s, mid-70s, I had somewhat of a clue of some of the things over here my parents thought of what my sister endured and other black students there. And now that I'm older and I hear what they've gone through, some of the ups and downs, and if you were an athlete, you were in high cotton in their eyes. Here it is, 2023. Some of the same things are going on at our universities. Charlottesville. Let's go back to that. Some 8 or 9 years ago, if that long, I'll put it like that. When they're protesting. You have a white male who mowed down people with his car because we had a rally. And that kid, his father wasn't even old enough to go through the changes with black history, or should I say with voting rights. See, we got some issues. We got some issues in this country. That's why we're so susceptible to other countries coming in and running the show, because we're so busy fighting each other instead of embracing the history of one another and moving forward. Both sides of the ledger have a lot of history to bring to the table. And if we pool our resources, can you imagine how strong we can be? We're so busy fighting and dividing among ourselves that's only showing our vulnerability to other countries that may come in. Wake up, America. Wake up. It's about 42 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the world according to Drew. It's Black History Month. DeSantis, you can say what you want, but guess what? We're going to get it on this show. And I wish I had your numbers so I could teach you a few things as well. We'll go back and talk about the Harlem Renaissance, Marcus Garvey. I got it. I got it all. Brown versus Brown. Brown versus the Board of Education. We have it. We'll talk a little bit about George Alcorn, Benjamin Banneker, Dr. Patricia Bass, Otis Borkin, who has become one of my favorites. Now that I live in Dallas, I tell you, he's one of the few inventors that had a lasting impact. Looking around the house today, you'll see a variety of devices that utilize components by Mr. Borkin, including your computers, radios, TV sets. His inventions are more impressive when one considers he was an African-American in a time of segregation in the field of electronics, was not as well-established things that we are encountering today. Now, I never met Mr. Borkin, but I met his son. And his son, we talked a lot about when I found out who his father was. He was saying, man, we thought my dad was crazy. But not knowing that he was putting his foot forward to make a difference in the world. He graduated from Booker T. Washington. And you know, back in the day, those who are listening that's old enough, you can tell our schools, it was Booker T. Washington, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Now, see, they had something in common, helping black folks. So we're going to give. Now, I know in Jacksonville you had Paxton, Reigns, Reball. Yeah, I understand. But let's go back before then. Stanton. I know we have people from Jacksonville on. But it was, you could identify with Booker T. Washington, George Washington Carver. And as we got closer to the late 1900s, you know, they took on principals of those particular schools, changing names that way. But he was so good, Mr. Borkin. You know, the pacemakers that people are using now, that they could keep up with how your heart is beating across the city and across the state, across the world. He put in a transistor for that heart, that pacemaker, a black man. Now, the American Heart Association don't tell you that. You hear it right here on the World According to Drew. We have patents, folks. When I say we have patents, we have patents. I'm going to give you a list of inventors, and then you're going to just, as the old folks used to say, you're going to flip your wig on some of this stuff. Now, a lot of it came through, say, the 1800s, when we were still enslaved. We found ways to make things a little easier, make things where we could produce, didn't have, we worked smarter, not harder. Give you an idea. A self-leveling cable. This is in the 1800s, late 1800s. A self-leveling cable. That's not putting a eraser or a piece of wood or some paper. You know, the table wasn't level. One leg was off. We would put some paper on it. But some of these people made things. Like C.W. Allen let you know that if things were rolling off the table, we could stabilize it. If you don't believe me, he has patent number 613-436. 613-436. The patent was given November 1st, 1898. Patent. So many things. You look at people in the construction business with ladders and scaffolds. William Bales. He has a patent on it. 21-81-54. Everybody uses the scaffold now. You know the shampoo, ladies shampoo headrest? Instead of your neck falling all over in the bowl, C.O. Bailiff. In 1898, there's a lot of history, folks, things that we take for granted. We must take advantage and know our contribution to this country. Know everything about your country. Other things that we can look into. That rotary engine. It didn't belong to Mazda. Remember they talked about they had a rotary engine? How about Andrew J. Beard? Patent number 478271. He brought it to light July 5th, 1892. A rotary engine. Remember, Mazda came out with it first to us. But we've made so many contributions, folks. Understand how rich our heritage is. And for Ron Santos in the state of Florida, saying he will not allow AP Black History to the top students, because everybody don't go to AP. Why not offer it to everybody? You don't have to give it to us AP. Give it to us just in general. But he know in the AP classes, the system still try to hold us down. The AP is going to be mainly them and don't want them to know how many things we have made, how many things we brought to life to make it a lot easier to live in the country that we live in. Systemic. I'm just sick to my stomach when I hear that. Sick to my stomach. Mailbox. I guess everybody was getting mail on the porch. They were throwing it on the porch. The wind was blowing your paycheck down the street or any important mail. Mailbox, G.E. Beckett, patent number 483325, back in 1892. Oh, man, unbelievable. Andrew J. Beard, rotary engine, as we mentioned, car coupler on your train. How are they holding trains together? I know we saw Matt Dillon. Some of you old enough remember Matt Dillon. Other movies of the Wild Wild West. What kept those cars together? A brother came up with the idea how to hold them. We work smarter, not harder. Folks, we got a long way to go for this particular month. I'm going to make sure I give you as much as I can about Black history. So DeSantis, we have people in Florida that are listening. It ain't going to work. Because I'm hoping what I provide today will at least encourage those who are listening. Pass it to their kids. Pass it to the grandkids. Pass it to the kids at church. Wherever the case may be. Because the way we've been treated, the way we are continuously being treated, we've made too many contributions. And the crime doesn't fit what we've done in this country. Street sweepers. They know they weren't trying to keep the street clean. Dr. King even said, if you're going to be a street sweeper, be the best one you can be. Just ask Charles B. Brooks. Street sweeper. 1896. And you're welcome. He has a patent. You're welcome to test me. You're welcome to verify what we're talking about. You talk about an elevator device. I guess we got tired of pulling the elevator on different floors. But we come up, I walk in the steps. Jay Cooper, elevator in 1895. Now, most of you, we all about the same age. It ain't Mr. Otis. You've seen Otis elevator in a lot of cities. That's just the company. Well, they got to thank Mr. Jay Cooper. Can you imagine people walking the floors? And I'm just using this as a reference, a sad day on 9/11 when they hit the World Trade Center. Can you imagine if you didn't have an elevator going to the top floor? Or can you imagine those who survived that area where the planes went in? Either they went to the staircase or took the elevators down. Think Jay Cooper. Think Jay Cooper. You go outside, you go in your yard. When your hose or your car had a stop leak, Claytonia, Jacqueline, Dartica came up with a stop leak, a hose stop leak. Now, you remember back in the day, people put towels across it and try to put some paste and that pressure build up. I tell you, now that I look at it, boy, my granddaddy, boy, I wouldn't be here today. I remember all the time his radiator got hot. And I noticed he always pushed me up. See where it's coming from. I still love him to death. But that stuff was tough. But then somebody comes along and create a seal for your pipes. We work smarter, not harder. T. Elkins. Now, I'm going to take you back. We used to iron and do day's work. That's what it was called. Some of our grandmothers and grandfathers, you know, work for Miss Sally. And, you know, don't act like some of y'all old enough to understand what I'm saying. But when they got tired of ironing on the floor, they come up with an ironing board. We learn, again, we work smarter, not harder. from the golf team, George Grant. Can you imagine people playing golf while they had some brothers holding the ball and they were the tee? And I guess they lost enough fingers to say, wait, I'm going to come up with something where you can tee the ball up. See, it's when we're down, when we're like on the grind, we have to come up with things in order to make it work for best for us. Instead of getting your fingers broken, let me just come up with something where you can sit the ball on the tee. I'm willing to bet that every golfer on the PGA Tour does not know who invented the tee. They think it's Wilson. They think it's Ping, Callaway. Nah, it ain't working like that. And if you can hear it on my voice, folks, I get so excited, Black History Month, because we have made our contribution to this country. And I think the country really doesn't owe us anything, but I think what they should do is consider to put more of the things that we have accomplished in this country in our history books. In our history books. And then my former state, I still say it's my state. I'm not going to even abandon it. The state of Florida. How can you not? And AP is a special group. You're smarter kids. And if you go to AP now, there are a lot of us sitting in AP. Kids have great resources and great foundations today. But they don't want them to learn about Black history, African-American history, colored history, Negro History Week. Okay? And we'll tell you, it was a week before it became a month. Half of the people that's preventing it don't even know that themselves. So much is going on. You look at a bailing press. You know how you bail Hayes? Oh, yeah, we came up with that too. R.H. Gray, and if you don't believe me, write this number down. 525-203. That's 525-203 in 1894. That was the patent I gave you, 525-203. And see what comes up with that. Smarter, not harder. It's at the top of the hour. You know, if you want to interject, always press 1. Let me go through some housekeeping right quick. You can always get your daily blast at TexasMetroNews.com, celebrating 196 years of the Black press. Isn't that something? We were able to communicate when it wasn't even favorable. The National Association of Black Journalists, or should I say the Black Press, Lifetime Achievement Award went to Dr. Benjamin Chavis, Jr. in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. All the National Association of Publishers, National Newspaper Publishers Association, I got it right, celebrating in Puerto Rico, having a great time. I know Cheryl is representing us well, giving out awards, making awareness, talking about how they can stay in this electronic world, making a difference in the lives of the people that they come in contact with. Just talking about things. HBCU Sports National Signing Day blog. Now, how many people, you know, they think with Coach Prime gone, they're not going to watch the signing. It's been watched every year before he left and after he left. It will continue. Okay, more things that you can see here. She's talking about Black History Month, and their stand, or should I say our stand is, and this is with the American Heart Association, during Black History Month, in conjunction with American Heart Month, The American Heart Association is encouraging people to, and I quote, be the meat, end quote, for and in your communities by challenging everyone in every household or family to have at least one person who knows hands-on CPR. Learn hands-on CPR can make a difference to save a life. And I support that. Everyone, not just one, everyone learn, because now if somebody chokes, you'll understand what to do. You can call 911. But if you, I'll let you in on a tip. If you don't get oxygen to your brain for the first 3 to 5 minutes, there's a chance you can have brain damage. And if you can do CPR, and now they just want circulation. Any percentage of oxygen is better than none at all. So they put emphasis on the compressions to do it. But if you can do the full cycle and everything, that would adjust as well and make a difference. All right, some of the faithful remembrances. Head back and down by sadness, I press through, knowing that on the other side of hell are memories that I have of you. Sparks of days since gone that allow me to remember and smile innocent sounds of laughter since I've felt joy in a while. Since I haven't felt joy in a while. Moving through my grief at my own time and pace, I actually close my eyes and see even the texture of your face. In whispers, I hear your voice. Through the stars, I see your eyes. Although left here on this earth, eventually together forever in the sky. And that's Faithful Remembrances by LaWanna Barton. And if you want any additional information, just let us know and we'll help you get a copy there. The 50th anniversary for hip-hop. The Bay Area was hip-hop before there was hip-hop. And we're talking pretty much about the Bay Area. That's what we call Tampa, too, Tampa as well. But Bay Area, you had all the guys on the, remember the East Coast, West Coast. A lot of that was going on for us. Some of our great birthdays here, Bobby Brown, Michael Lane, Doug Fint, Deborah Bush, Tangela Banks Rhymes, Sandra Stein, Esteen, some of the others, Trayvon Martin, Henry, Hank Aaron, Kevin Gates, Omarosa, was it Manigault, Manigault, we'll get it, Newman, Terrence Ross, Laverne Chambers, just to name a few. Metro News salutes. Roland Martin receives the Image Award at the 49th NAACP Image Awards. And we have some anniversaries with Pastor King and Melinda Ann Harris, 26 years, Dwayne and Christine, Kane Wyatt, 1 year, and I'm looking here, a couple I've known for several years, Dr. Shelby and D. Chipman, 26 years, and Dr. Chipman is the band director, head band director at Florida A&M University, and I know we have people in Jacksonville. We know that Dr. Julian White represented Jacksonville very well up on the hill. So much is going on, folks. We want to just hear what you have to say, some of the things that sparked you for Black History. And we have Cheryl. Good morning, and happy Black History Month to you, Cheryl. I know she's in the meeting.
No, the fountain's right here. I'm going down there to the beach.
Jesus joined the fun there in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Cheryl, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, how are things going in Puerto Rico?
Going wonderfully. Really great time. We just had Skylar, and Skylar is a challenge.
Okay.
And Skylar is...
Well, look, at least you know she's safe. Safe in the state and abroad, huh?
You say what now?
I say now you know she's what the same, not only in the state, but also abroad.
Oh, boy. She is, I think everybody come through the hotel, see her.
Okay.
But you've been talking about a lot today, and I just want to get, I did not hear whether you said, do you think that the police officers that were suspended, do you, I mean, that were, their membership in Omega revoked. I see one of your frat brothers walking around here. Do you think their membership should have been revoked?
Well, I'm kind of mixed on that still.
Okay.
We've revoked some based on their actions. And other organizations have pulled, you know, we call other things the full memberships, because when we've taken those oaths and those in our organizations, talking about having a higher standard. And
okay.
If you have
I hear you.
And if you have any negativity, I know some other organizations have had prior to this, where they've had to make some tough decisions to make the decisions. So I do want
to come here. Got it. Come here.
I do want
Well, and I hear you. I guess for me, what I see is that suspension is not, it's like, I mean, revoking is like a child doing something wrong and them getting a whooping for it, but not getting a lesson out of it. And I think that this was an opportunity to have a wider, broader discussion about police brutality and about how people get caught up in a gang culture and how, and like a lot of people have said, that people of the justice appears to be able to be meted out quicker when it's those of color.
Right, right. Now, I do agree with that wholeheartedly about it. I'm sure some of the commentary around that, they may say, well, why didn't they say Black Lives Matter? And some people who are, they oppose Black Lives Matter. But his life mattered as well. But we did not stop saying that when this happened. It still matters. And we don't care who does the damage, but we have to value the lives. And often too many times, it's always up on the wrong side. Regardless of who.
Yeah, it's like, why is it so quick when, why is it quick? Why do we see, you know, police officers getting this justice, if you will, happens when it's us, you know, and even you saw the duality in the system when even the white cop who was the first perpetrator on the scene is the last one called out and also the last one to, you know, he was, at first he was put on leave.
Correct.
So you know, but I think, you know, just like with Pookie and the rapist, raping, there was an opportunity for Delta to launch discussion about the treatment of women. Just like the Boydie sisters, it was an opportunity for Deltas and AKs and anybody else who had their sorority, their members participating in the reality show. It was an opportunity for to have a discussion about the exploitation of women.
Correct.
And to talk about images in Hollywood and on the screen. And I can just tell you it was really funny yesterday because I'll get back to the session, but it was really funny because Skylar took off on the beach here in Puerto Rico yesterday, and she was weaving and dodging through it so funny. It was hilarious out here watching them. But I also tell you that this was an opportunity. We were here for the National Newspaper Publishers Association winter conference, and NABJ was here, and we had serious conversations about the friction between journalists who work for the black press and journalists who work for the black-owned media. And it was a really healthy discussion because we get into what happened, where did it start? And it started when the so-called mainstream, started hiring people of color, started hiring black people. And unfortunately, some of those black people felt they were better.
Mm-hmm.
The journalists who worked for black owned. And it's the same thing like the people who may have cost. We deal with it in our fraternities and sororities, even with, you know, chapters that are on HBCUs seem to sometimes be in friction with those who are at PWIs. And
right.
It's like when folks would tell us, oh, you went to Florida A&M because you couldn't get in Florida State when no one even – Florida State wasn't even on our radar, you know. So, you know, we have so much that we're dealing with. But Andrew, with the police officer, I'll just tell you, my column that came out not this past week but the one before that, it was titled I Am Traumatized. And I was traumatized by the man beating the woman, the police officers, those pookies beating – the black woman over McDonald's. And that was very, you know, it was very, watching these police officers punch the heck out of this woman, it was very traumatizing for me. Because, you know, I've long said that everybody feels like they can do everything to black women. And, I mean, did this man not have any humanity in him? Did he not see this woman as his grandmother or as his aunt or as his sister? You know, this officer was wailing away at her. And then on top of that, they were actually, when you think about what was really happening there, that one of the police officers actually tased her in her head. Now, you're a medical profession. I did a little research on it, and they were saying that there's tasing anywhere could have an effect on you, on your body anywhere. But so I look at it as freaking attempted murder when he tased her in her head. He could have caused brain damage. It was not that serious. So I did get a call last week from someone who wanted to go out and protest against McDonald's. And they were up in New Jersey, and they said they were just tired. They wanted to do something. And there's danger to just becoming woke, if you will, because you got to do your homework. You have to do your homework. You have to study a situation. So I was saying I didn't know necessarily if that was a good idea, but I didn't say it in that way because I don't want to stop anybody's activism. If you feel like you need to get out and do something, but I asked if he knew if that particular McDonald's was black owned or not, and he didn't. And for me, like I say, you should always, when you go into combat, when you go up against somebody, you should you should know who you're going up against. You should know your enemy. You know your opponent. That's why in sports they study tapes. I mean, is that what you do? So, but so when he said, I said, who is the owner of that McDonald's? And the person said, I thought about that, but it doesn't matter. At this juncture, we all have to sacrifice to get them point across. We are no longer spending our money and being disrespected. And they said, I thought about he said, we all have to sacrifice. And I said, you know, because I'm not trying to knock it. I just said, I don't know everything, but I do know an informed protest is more productive. That McDonald's needs to be held accountable. I'm talking about the one that called the cops on the woman. I said, but what if you find out the owner is black, is heavily involved in the community, gives scholarships, supports programs for the formerly incarcerated, I'm just giving ideas, and more. Then, two, he is one who is in a lawsuit against McDonald's for disenfranchising black owners. I'm just saying, know who you are going up against. And that's, you know, because you don't want to, because I think about, I just couldn't see myself ever protesting, even if I protested McDonald's, which I did. And I won't say I protested, I boycotted them, because when we were at FAMU, there was a call for a boycott of those businesses that did not support FAMU equitably. And
what?
I didn't eat at McDonald's for years. Even when I came to Texas, it took a while for me to eat there. But I tell you what, I could never see myself protesting a McDonald's that's owned by Roland Parrish, Anthony Grissett, and, you know, and there are others, the Johnsons, Clifton, and them. There's just no way I could protest them because they're victims also. And I look at all the good they do in our community. So I just want him to make an informed decision, but I don't want him to not think about being active because it's a good thing. We need activism. We need people to speak out and speak up.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate that. So you enjoying the fun, son? We get heat. You missed the ice show we had.
I was so amazed. I left Tuesday morning. And then
just the time.
Alana sent me a picture of the snow covered, looking like it was New Jersey or Detroit or something. And I said, where are you? And she was in Oak Cliff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had the snow for, it kind of lightened up yesterday a little bit. I saw a little bit of snow still left on the side. But Friday, we were able to move around. I had to take my son to the airport. I was slipping and sliding a little bit, not much.
Oh.
Well, this
was much needed, and I wouldn't want to be there. I'm glad I missed the snow because it was silly, you know, getting on the plane. And I saw where I really needed, because there was a time when I was flying JetBlue, and I had so many issues with JetBlue that by the time I got halfway to Puerto Rico, I was just like through with them, and I had a momentary lapse in judgment, and you know, and I told the ticket agent at the counter, I just, you know, apologizing, and she was a black woman too. I said, this, you know, is so uncharacteristic of me, because I believe in respecting you know, all people, but especially this class of people, the black woman who gets disrespected by everybody. But then everybody comes back to us to, you know, save everything, to make it right. You know, I just felt really bad. But I just had been through so much, and I even had people there, people I paid for to be in Puerto Rico, that did not make it. And a lot of it had to do with the what was going on in Dallas with the weather. And it was really, you know, it's like their flights were being canceled, and they missed the really interesting and informative sessions that we had with folks like Google and the Poynter Institute. It's really, you know, I just really wish that more of the people we were working for, I'm going to say more specifically black people, I wish they valued us, because we do a lot of good work across the country. And, you know, we're like, we're doing this for you, you know. And but that's the journey that we're on. Did you go to see Erica perform?
No, I did not. On yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Oh, well, if I had been there, I would have gone. Well, today is, I don't know what day it is pretty much either.
Yeah.
I'm sitting
you
here on the beach right now.
Yeah, it's Sunday morning. And no, I did not. I had a full weekend, and I regret not going because, look, better catch her while you can, because nothing but stardom is headed her way. I tell you,
oh yes.
Every time I look at them, I think about Fred and Vivian. Way before the kids came, when I came out here, and they offered for me to stay with them initially, and when I came out, they were having family come out 4th of July. And I got here like the 2 weeks prior to that. And so I decided to go ahead and get my own place at that particular time. But I was so grateful that they had opened their home to me. So,
yeah, I think when I came out, Fred was president of the alumni chapter in Dallas. And then I followed him. I'm trying to think of the succession, but I actually followed him. And then, you know, Vivian was my vice president.
Okay.
The y'all should be out here. Those listening should be out here on the beaches of Puerto Rico. Let me tell you. Yeah, I do have to rub it in, because I will tell you, it has been less stressful for me because I have not felt like I'm going to have to worry about a mass shooting or something.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I don't know if you feel that, but I talked to others. It's just the pressure of what we're dealing with in the state, that you just don't know when somebody's going to snap. And nobody's talking about Trump here. And just chilling. I do have to rub it in. And I say to everyone, if you get your tickets at the right time, it costs less to go here than it does to go to California or New York sometimes when you get the right ticket. And I'm saying we need to get out. We need to see what other folks are doing. I've probably spoken more Spanish in the past 5 days than I have in my lifetime. I'm not saying anybody could understand it, but I've spoken.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? One of our colonies, so to speak, and you know, you don't have to. They use American currency, To going to Puerto Rico, I got a chance to go as a kid playing baseball.
Oh, and, really?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, you brought up a sore subject there. You're bringing up baseball. Were you aware that in last year's World Series there were no Black Americans, African Americans?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's going like that because,
you know,
remember a couple of years ago, Cheryl, James Summers and I, better known as this, we took on a task of teaching some how to play baseball. We took some athletes, basketball, football players, and made some baseball players.
No.
If you're good, you know, we've been able to adjust to whatever when it comes to life. So we figured the experiment would be good for baseball.
Yes.
And oftentimes in our neighborhood, we're taking the little league out. And now everything.
Right. But, I mean, but in your area.
I hear she's trying to be a fine journalist.
Oh, yes. You can see it. But but in the Tampa area, baseball for young boys is big.
It is. Yeah. A lot of neighborhood parks. And I would be remiss. I am trying to go to Cooperstown. I guess to represent the Metro News, and my best friend was selected to go into the Hall of Fame, and I would love to go and cover that story for Texas Metro News.
And when is that again? When is that?
I think in June. I will find out here. Induction into baseball Hall of Fame.
No, we have to make that happen. I know that Dorothy is going, and you just reminded me, thank you, that Dorothy is going to cover the NBA All-Star Game.
Oh, wow.
And the thing about it, like I told her, I said, stop waiting. You know, if you wait to the last minute, the chance, I will never say no if you give me time, but when you don't spend my money like you spend your money, then guess what? You know, it's kind of like the people who everybody go out to dinner, which they didn't know I was taking them out to dinner. I said, let's meet for dinner. And we went out, all the people that came from Dallas with me, and after dinner, I paid for dinner. And they're like, oh, I didn't. No, thank you. You know, thank you. And, you know, everybody ordered like they were paying for it themselves. And, you know, and then, you know, because, you know, you've been with the people who say, dang, if I had known you were paying for it, I would have ordered the scrims, you know.
Yeah.
And and it's like, that's why when I go out, I order what I can pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I can pay for. And, you know, the Honorable Hakeem Jeffries is coming to town.
Okay.
He's going to be, there's going to be a swearing in for Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, but also former Congresswoman Eddie Bernice Johnson is hosting a fundraiser for him that night. So I'll be spending the day with Congressman Jeffrey.
Oh, yes, we will. We I got French on you. We will. Yes, we will.
It should be interesting. But,
yeah,
you know, Andrew, this is a time when we really need to seize the opportunity and take advantage. This is a time. If COVID didn't do anything, it should have shown us what is important in life and made us shut up about things that are not important. Let some of this stuff go that keeps us from really enjoying life to its fullest. What I see here, there's like people, you know, like sometimes folks will say, I'll tell you a little joke. not a joke, but a funny story. There's one of my proteges is really free-spirited, and she travels around the country, around the world. So she sees that that if you hear screaming, that's Skylar on his old beat. She don't want screaming. But she's really free-spirited. And so, you know, and if you go to other countries and on other continents, you'll find that Americans are kind of prudish, if you will, and they are very judgmental, whereas people, you know, like folks in America will say, you know, that after 40 you shouldn't wear heels, or women shouldn't wear heels, or they shouldn't wear shorts. Mm-hmm. And you go to other places, you know, like even now there's different, like in Miami or something, you know, in parts of Florida and California, and they wear shorts to them. And they wear shorts, and that's the clue is coming in. So that's Marva Urich. But anyway, my young protege was in Brazil, and she brought back gifts, and she brought back gifts to a person who was a little heavy. And the gift that she brought her was a string bathing suit. And the person has never spoken to my protege again because she was offended, because she was like, I know she didn't think I was going to wear that. And my little free-spirited protege, oh, she had been places where people who were bigger than the person she gave the gift to wear string bathing suits, but we're so confined here, if you will. We're so judgmental, and other places you go, people just live in their life, and if it comes in their size, they wear it. So, but I'm going to let you continue talking, and
no problem, but
and I'll listen.
Look, we'll definitely let you know that it's going to be July. July 23rd, I believe. So time is of essence. But as they say, the Lord, you know, the creek don't rise, I'll be there. Lord's willing and the creek don't rise. That's what they say. Yeah, but July 23rd in Cooperstown, New York. And my childhood buddy, and we've connected a little bit, Fred McGriff. And my hat's off to him. Every time he would come to town when he played with Toronto, and the Braves came through once, and he was an all-star, he always, we connected, and that was good. You know, sometimes people get to a certain status, and they have a tendency not to, where they forget the people where that helped them get where they are. And I tell you this, we all were good. Fred was behind us. But Fred only played baseball. We played football, basketball, everything you can name. But he stuck with it. And then growing up in Florida, you know, you have a lot of Cuban kids that the coaches just think instantly that they are better. You know, we were able to prove some things at our high school team to kind of dismantle his thinking process. But Fred stuck with it. We did everything else. And I'm just so proud of him. I told him, I remember our days of riding our bicycles to practice and stopping by Kmart until it's been a while, and get an icy after practice. That was our treat. And now he's in the Hall of Fame. So we'll be in touch. Are you still with me, or are you already gone? She's already gone. She's enjoying San Juan, Puerto Rico. Having a good time there, and we're just so happy. It's about 37 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Witham, live in Studio A this morning, and we're getting some people I see from Atlanta. Good morning to Atlanta. speaking of, Fred McGriff played for the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, we're going to continue our education. I know Lauryn Hill had a song, Miseducation, but we're going to get the education of our Black History Month. Some of the things that we take advantage of or utilize today, they were invented by people of color. And I just found one. I do own a rotary dining table. We may know like a Lazy Susan, trying to think of everything I remember my mom calling, things that you put food in and it rolls around or rotate around. Well, I do have a table where you can lift the center and it revolves the food around. Well, when it came to rotary dining table, D. Johnson, and we do have a patent for those who like to test what I may provide, 396089, back in 1888, D. Johnson came up with a rotary dining table. Here's another one D. Johnson came with, a lawnmower attachment. The patent number is 410836 in 1889. So again, so many contributions we've made, and I think about DeSantis in Florida, don't want the kids to know what our contributions were to this country. Unbelievable. I'm just spellbound over that. And since it's Sunday morning, I would say spellbound because I do have some other things I want to say, but I will respect the fact that it's Sunday. All right. Cheryl and I touched on the Trey Nichols. We had the funeral, I think about Thursday or Wednesday. With all this ice and snow, my day's all jacked up. But I think it was Thursday. And more allegations of someone may have known Mr. Nichols, that there was speculation that someone's wife or girlfriend were friends. You hear so many things. Speculation. We'll get more details on that. Cheryl made an interesting point that the white guy that was there, he actually got a little probation, you know, didn't render aid or anything while they were doing it, you know, had their beat down. Omega Sci-Fi, I think two of the three gentlemen that were involved, they had their membership withdrawn from the organization. And it was interesting. You know, it's interesting how things surface very fast on the World Wide Web as well as in your group chats. We have one. We got one the other day in how they denounced the membership of these individuals. And that was quite interesting. People may ask, why did they denounce? And I'm not just isolating these gentlemen, but usually when the negativity comes, you as an organization, you know, they're going to tag you. And so the best thing to do is to disassociate yourself with those individuals until later. Now, if they're found innocent, then maybe retract. And sometimes people will be so upset, they may not want to be a part of the organization because they gave up on them. So there's a chance for that as well. But just we have some callers on. If you press 1, let me know that you're on. And just tell me what you think about the whole situation. You know, this time it was black cops. So we can't say black crime or white on black. It was black on black. Was he deserving of that beatdown? Was he deserving of being shot or tased and continued and followed? And they said he lived not far from his mother where all this occurred, trying to get home. Unlike George Floyd being suffocated there in Minneapolis and calling for his mother. Mr. Trey calling for his mother, and he was within minutes or very close proximity to where his mother was. We know that the police chief fired the individuals for that, for those acts. It's interesting to see whatever falls out after this, because it, from my understanding, the police chief created this unit. Who knows, there might be some more activity that may come out about this group. So we're waiting to see when that particular time comes. But Memphis is under the spotlight. Now, just being Memphis, there are other gang-related cop groups or just people who are trying to reduce the amount of crime on the streets or for what they're doing, how they're going about it. All of that is being put under consideration as these occurrences happen. It's just unbelievable how you lose a life. I don't know. When is enough enough? You got people that are constantly, you know, banging on heads. When is enough enough? Press 1, we can hear your take on it. Again, you got the Super Bowl coming up next Sunday. We'll talk about Rihanna making a lot of money. I can't wait to see what she will do. I think I've done the Whitney Houston. I've done Beyonce in New Orleans. Trying to think of a few more that I've been to. The Weeknd in Tampa. Wow. Several where we've had some outstanding. I think Beyonce was the best. Oh, Prince in Miami. Did that one. What else? I think that was about it. I'll think of a few more. Yeah, I did. I've been to a couple. Even the one in Atlanta with been to Atlanta twice. Gladys and Ray and all them did some things at halftime. The first time when the Cowboys in 93-94, when the Cowboys played the Buffalo Bills there at the Georgia Dome. And then I had a chance to go to the Mercedes facility when the Patriots played. Ooh, I can't even remember, but it's been a time ago. But, you know, we're going to watch the Super Bowl. We're going to enjoy Doug Williams started in one and won the Titans with, I'm drawing a blank this morning. It'll come to me in a minute. Played, and they came up short. If you all can help me, just press 1, get in there. I see his face, everything. It'll come to me. Mahomes won. Wilson won. So now we all come out winners because we got 2. So however you bet, usually in the past, Steve McNair. Okay, boy. Ooh, got to screw that bulb in a little tighter. I was wondering. I couldn't even remember. But the contributions we've made to the game, and they never said that we had the capability of the mentality or brain capacity to play quarterback. And now they're coming up with other things. Well, you have the athleticism that's associated. And they want to run more than pass. It could be. They do whatever it takes to win. So even at the highest stage for professional football, there's still some people out there doubting our brothers who are participating in the game. Just don't know. Just don't know. But I know Atlanta's hot. Everybody, we're doing fine here in Texas with this ice and snow. It's always pretty. It's a booger while I'm trying to heat the house, and especially when you got a lot of open space. It's a little tough. But we survived. We survived. I'm going to get some opinions. We have some people, if you're able to talk. We just want a little bit about the Trey Nichols incident. A lot of speculation out there. I have not confirmed it, but I'll put it as a careful journalist, speculation of some extracurricular activities between parties. Whether or not Trey may have known one of the officers' wife or whatever the case may be. And CFED, you know, the video looks awful. Some of the things that were going on. You know, doing this this altercation. So I'm looking, did he know any of the officers' family members? We'll put wives now, but that's what they were saying. Okay, and the first thing I pull off, this is political fact that I found. It claims that Trey Nichols was dating a police officer's wife. So could that have been motive? The officers who beat Trey Nichols target him because he was allegedly dating one of their wives. Allegedly dating. Wow. I know old folks who say that, so. That's a horse of a different color right there. And they're going to look into it. You know, Mr. Nichols, they say he loved photography, skateboarding, sunsets, and his four-year-old son, according to his friends and family. We know he all died on January 10th, 3 days after a traffic stop encounter with five Memphis, Tennessee police officer video shows they brutally beat him. And you would think if something's going on like this, you know they have body cams, all of this, and you still, people just still don't care. Folks, we got to do a lot of praying because this is, you know, it's bad when you're not singing, but when you're able to be singing, it's bad. No, that's bad. I just don't, and I probably apologize for the dead air. Ooh, just thinking about this. You know. Five cops. One guy. At what point is he not moving? At what point? And they said, what's fueling the rumors? Nichols worked at FedEx. Some of the interactions of of this particular rumor rely on an unproven claim that one of the officers' wives or girlfriends also worked at FedEx and led Nichols to allege involvement with her. Those social media rumors implicated former officer Haley's wife, girlfriend or ex. Wow. So see, it's something behind, not so much the traffic stop or what? Just trying to go and everybody on board. Some of the gentlemen have lost their membership to their organization. If you can turn back the hands of time, would you have done the same thing? That's questions that we might need to ask them. Any opportunity we get that's close to the store. It's close to the story. It's just mind-boggling that someone could get beat like this on a routine when they're not fighting back based on the video that was played, not giving any threat, and getting beat up. Reminds us oh so much of Rodney King. Never thought lightning would strike twice in one bottle. As you can see, it has occurred. So we're going to watch it. All right, I appreciate it. Sorry for just not seeing that you were on. Welcome to the World Quarter, Drew. What's going on in your neighborhood? She just dropped the call. Oh, call back. We'll see. Okay, they're back. Sorry about the drop call. Thank you for calling. Good morning. How's the world going in your neck of the woods?
It's going fine.
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, happy Black History Month to you.
The same to you. Before you started reading about me working at FedEx, I have family members at FedEx, and they had meetings at various, well, I'm imagining all about, especially those that are closer to the situation on the work side, to be mindful of what you think you know and whatnot, and then it ended with fraternizing on the job, that kind of thing. So you know the speculations are running rampant, but one thing most people have surmised is that whichever officer's significant other is involved, they spotted him. He was singled out because of whatever has transpired in the past. And when you made the comment about their body cams being on and they didn't care, and it's because of that blue brotherhood, they deem if they stand together, regardless of how egregious the situation is, that, you know, it's our lie and we're going to stick to it. But however, what they are not realizing is your lies sticking together is not going to fool many people, you know, anymore because of what has happened in the past, regardless of with Rodney King, you know, someone, you know, video recorded it. You know, the most damning thing that the judicial system did was denounce the video footage. But now that you're wearing it, you know, it's hard to denounce it. And then what was on the utility pole, that other camera that they forgot about. So I also agree with you to cut all ties to any affiliated groups or whatever, because that could bring that group down that has nothing to do with those individual actions. You know, so it's just everyone should understand that. You know, and regardless that, you know, that's still their frat brother or whatever, your frat brother was wrong. Whether he participated in that physical fist throwing, but he did not stop. Once
right.
You saw that they had beaten him to a pulp, you know, humanity did not step in with any of them. And it has also been stated that a couple of those officers are also being investigated for some other traffic stops that, I mean, the people did not die, but a lot of things that happened to them was unwarranted. So this is going to open a lot of boxes of what has been hidden, you know, and it's time. And one more thing, we as Black people have to stop believing what someone outside of our own race is saying about us. We will believe what someone else says more or quicker than we will believe our own people. If, like the foolishness, like you were saying in Florida, it's time for them to band together and get that fool up out of there. And that saying, when someone show you who they are, you better believe it. And he's shown them time and time again who he is. But yet and still, he's back at the helm.
Back at the helm. And, you know, the state of Florida has given him some power beyond belief of some of the things he has on authority to do certain things, like set up the structure of the House and the Senate there in Tallahassee. Put whoever he want on the board. I know he'll get a lot of opposition. He changed the congressional districts in Florida for that election to throw, for one, because, oh, my God, I can't think of his name right now. What's her name, Demons? I know she ran for something. Right, but she was former police chief or something, or
yes.
And Al Lawson's group is stretching across to get some of her to kind of lighten up the area of voting for him as well. So he's going to go. I'm interested to see how this presidential thing is going to go. I'm sure they're going to slap each other around pretty good. But we're definitely on top of it. But I thank you so much, and I thank everyone for being a part of the World According to Drew, as we're running out of time. Enjoy Black History Week, month, year, lifetime, whatever the case may be. You'll be surprised. I gave you some information today. We'll continue throughout the month. But always remember, most things that you are dealing with today, we had something to do with it. And if not, look, in some fashion, we were a part of it. So on behalf of Cheryl Smith and the team, we thank you. Well, I said thank you as always, and we'll be looking forward to your insight next Sunday as well. So on behalf of Cheryl Smith and the team, I'll be back next week, and continue to pray, because there's always only one time of God, and he's on time.
Oh, oh.